Exec MBA Podcast. I'm Brett Twitty, Director of Admissions for the Executive Formats of the Dart MBA, and you're listening to a new episode. So we are now into our second season of the Exec MBA Podcast. Hopefully you checked out some of our past episodes. And it's hard to believe this, but we've never actually done an admissions episode. All these interviews about entrepreneurship, career resources, alumni, faculty, staff, we've never actually covered admissions. And we thought it was high time that we correct that. So this is our first admissions-related podcast, and not a moment too soon. Our 2019 cycle is underway. Our September deadline has just passed. We've got a bunch more deadlines. Don't worry, there's plenty of opportunity to apply to our Executive MBA program. Next deadline is October 10, November 10, December 1, and essentially monthly until the class is full, which is typically sometime in June. Of course, you'll hear a lot of our advice for applicants. This is a highly recommended episode if you're thinking about applying to our Executive MBA program. This interview is with me and my colleague Whitney Kessner, who works closely with me on our executive format recruitment. I think you'll enjoy hearing her perspective, and hopefully you'll find our insights about our admissions process helpful to you as you think about preparing for and strategizing for our application process. Of course, we're always here as a resource, so this is hopefully a starting point. If you haven't yet connected with us, scheduled a conversation, met one of us for an office hour meeting, attended an event, hope that you'll consider doing that as well. We love getting to know applicants through this process, as you'll hear, and we look forward to getting to know you. But without further ado, here's my conversation with Whitney Kessner about Executive MBA admissions. Whitney, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you, Brett. So glad to be here.
So for our podcast listeners, tell us a little bit more about yourself. Who are you? What do you do here?
Well, I am your admissions colleague. I've been at Darden for 11 years now, so entering into my 12th admissions cycle. And I have long enjoyed recruiting for our full-time MBAs as well as our executive format students. And then this last spring, we partnered with McIntyre, the School of Commerce at the University of Virginia, to launch our Master's in Business Analytics. So I've had fun getting to work with prospective students in that population. But I know today's focus.
Yes. So for those of you wondering, two admissions colleagues, what are they going to talk about? Admissions. So we wanted to give you some insights into our exec application process, mm-hmm. how we think about it from a committee standpoint, some tips for you along the way. Know from my phone conversations, the in-person meetings, Whitney, you know this well too, that oftentimes people have a lot of questions as they go right through the process. So where there are questions, we seek to provide answers. So how do we think about the admissions process? What's our general approach? How do you think about that, Whitney?
Sure. Well, truly it is our way of getting to know applicants, learning about their backgrounds, learning about what they've done professionally, what they've studied academically, but also what they enjoy doing in their free time. You know, what are their interests? What are their passions? We get to hear from recommendation writers, so somebody other than the applicant, about, you know, who they are, what they've accomplished. So each piece is a really provides a lot of helpful information, a lot of key insights into who this candidate is, who they might be at Darden, what perspective they will bring. So it's definitely a privilege and fun for us. You know, we get to learn about all these different industries, all these different functional roles, all these different things that you can study and the hobbies. You know, people do some pretty incredible things.
And I always remind candidates, it's going to be about everything, right? As you know, it's holistic in nature. And where we spend a lot of our time as a committee is on cultural fit.
Yeah.
Right? So academics, important piece, right? We want to make sure every student's capable of doing the work they'll be asked to do here academically. But that's really only one piece of it. The bigger question is, as you note, around kind of teammate you would be, what kind of classmate you would be, what perspective you would bring to the classroom, how you would engage in the conversation, you know, obviously a case method school. So we have 10 deadlines, I think, this year, maybe nine or 10. We'll go until the class is full. So start off by saying, you know, September is our first deadline, September 10, right around the corner.
Coming up Monday.
Coming up soon, followed by October 10, November 10, December 1, essentially monthly deadlines.
Right.
And these are discrete rounds, all focused on one matriculation point. And all students here in our executive formats, we're a lockstep cohort-based program. Everybody starts in August.
Right.
So even if you apply in September, you're admitted and you just choose to pay deposit. You're not going to start until August.
Right.
So what's early in the executive cycle, right? Because full-time's so lockstep, right?
Right.
You know, everybody sort of applies at the same time, but exec candidates apply all along.
They do.
So what's early for us, do you think?
September. No, I'd definitely say those early rounds are through the fall, maybe through January, then start to see an uptick in that February, March, and April time period. And then, you know, have enjoyed also strong interest through May and through June. It just can depend each year sort of where the demand is and how much interest we have and how many students have, you know, committed to joining the Darden class.
It is in your best interest to apply early,
yes.
Right? Particularly if you're focused on a particular location or format. Over the past few years, we found that the Roslyn section fills up a little bit more quickly than the Charlottesville section. Typically, we'll have format availability into the later rounds, right? We haven't reached a point yet where we've had to say, oh, no more EMBA students or no more GEMBA format students.
Right.
But if you are particularly format or location focused, it's good to apply early. We also have more scholarship money available typically earlier in the cycle. We start with a finite budget as we go through each round. More of that money is committed. And so a scholarship is going to be an important part of your decision. Finances, which are invariably a big part of the decision to go back to school, that's going to be important. Apply early.
Right.
So one of the things that we get asked about in addition to when should I apply is, so about that standardized test requirement. is it required? Is there a waiver? So we accept three standardized tests.
Right.
Point of clarification, we oftentimes will get asked, so do you require the GMAT? And so how do you respond to those questions?
Sure. We do have a standardized test requirement. And as you said, we accept three. So the GMAT is what most people know and are familiar with. We also accept the GRE. But, you know, I think one that we'd really like to emphasize and share more about is the executive assessment, what we refer to as the EA. So that is a test that was developed by the same team that does the GMAT test, a shorter test really geared towards executive format students. So shorter in duration, requires less preparation at a higher price point than the GMAT. But I think a test that is a good reflection of what our executive candidates, what their potential is, and I think plays to their strengths in terms of where they are in their professional development.
Yeah, 40 questions, 90 minutes, probably 10 to 20 hours of prep on average. And that's been pretty consistent. You know, as we talked with the Graduate Management Admissions Council, our colleagues there, about how much studying people are doing for the test. About 20 hours is what we hear.
Yeah.
The other thing that they stress, you know, is everybody's kind of working from the same materials to prepare, right? You get materials when you sign up for the test. You can purchase an additional practice test or two. But it is a level playing field. You can't take it more than twice. So that also... some of that professionalization that you see with the GMAT, where people take it six or seven plus times, you're not going to see that with the EA. It is intentionally a test of readiness, right? It's a way of giving you a sense of, are you ready to take this step? It's largely based off of integrative reasoning, right? It's integrative reasoning, verbal reasoning, quantitative reasoning. And the idea is that that approximates the intellectual process a student would be asked to do in a program like ours, right? Take this information, synthesize it, make a decision with it. And, you know, we're big fans of the EA, as you know. We get a lot of questions from students about, you know, all right, so I went and took the EA and I scored this. How does that compare? I can't find out a lot of information, right? Because they don't give you a percentile breakdown,
right.
Unlike with the GMAT. Our scores have typically been in the 140s to 160s. The average, I think we're getting close enough to have a reportable average, typically been 152, 153 as we've looked. But talk a little bit more about the waiver process, because we do have a few instances in which we would grant a test waiver, limited, but a few.
Yeah.
How would you encourage students to think about, you know, approaching, you know, submitting a waiver request?
Well, I know that you've done a lot around, you know, putting helpful information on the website. So I would start there in terms of understanding what we're generally looking for and who has in the past qualified for a waiver. I think it definitely is something we could discuss, you know, through conversation or through other channels. And so there is good information online, and I think, through previous webinars and such. If you feel you do qualify and would like to move forward with that, we do have an online waiver request form. So you would upload the requested documentation, provide an explanation, and then submit that. And then one of us would get back to you with that outcome, make a recommendation, either approve the waiver and say, you know, your standardized test requirement has been waived, or if it's not, make a recommendation. And odds are we will most likely recommend the executive assessment.
Yeah, you can find the links to the waiver request form both from our admissions FAQ page, our frequently asked questions page, also from the application itself. It's embedded there. And there are limited circumstances. So we will accept an older or expired test score. So that's not really a waiver so much as I took the GMAT 7 years ago. I took the GRE 10 years ago. Can I apply with that score? Yes, you may. CPA, CFA is more quantitative technical certifications. Advanced degrees, master's degree, PhD in a quantitative or analytical discipline. But it's always going to be on a case-by-case basis. So even if you happen to check one of these boxes, we'll still ask you to submit the waiver request because we'll look at the materials. We ask for pretty basic information, resume, unofficial transcripts, a short statement, helping frame the request. And no harm in submitting the request. Oftentimes people will say, well, I'd like some clarity. You know, if I can qualify for a waiver, you know, that would be helpful to me. But if not, I understand. And so no harm in submitting the waiver request. I should also note there's no differential treatment. You know, if you take the EA, we view that the same as the GRE and GMAT, both in the admissions process and in the scholarship process. And if you qualify for a waiver, you're not disadvantaged in the scholarship process. And we have reasons why we grant those waivers. What I always tell students, I'm curious your thoughts on this. I always tell students, sometimes people want to take a standardized test, even if they may qualify for a waiver. They may want to take something like the EA to give us one more data point to consider in the scholarship process, because those are typically merit-based scholarships, and we look at academic merit as an initial threshold concern. How would you encourage somebody to think about that?
I think, as you said, it can be a case-by-case basis on the waiver. I think in that sense, I think it would be probably helpful to have a conversation as to what are the other components of your application. If there is, you know, some more information that we would like, a better sense for quantitative experience or something like that, or if the master's was maybe a long time ago, and to your point that the EA is really around your readiness, it could be a helpful tool, one for yourself to sort of see how you perform, but to give us that additional data point. So I would never want someone to feel that they had to do that after receiving a waiver. It does take time. It does take resources. However, you know, if someone did want to provide that, it certainly would be taken into consideration. And as you stated, we do have merit scholarships. And so all of that would be taken into consideration for that review.
Yeah, so transitioning a little bit. So as we think about all the constituent parts of the application, I think one of the things I get questions about most frequently is we ask for work history, work experience, and we ask for a resume. And they're not the exact same thing. And so work experience is more like, you know, tell us what you did, what you managed, how much did you earn, how many people did you reported to you, those sorts of things. And your resume, slightly different information. How would you encourage candidates to think about those two parts of the application?
Sure. As you said, the employment is gives us a lot of the nuts and bolts about your previous employment experience. One of the questions that we do ask is a reason for leaving. So if you've transitioned to a new company, then you have that opportunity to share that with us. And so that oftentimes is just really helpful. As we talked about earlier, a very holistic process, wanting to know your story, get a sense for where you've been. So anytime that we have those that ability to connect the dots and understand why you made that switch, why you made that pivot, that can be really helpful as we're beginning this story of you as coming to life and fleshing out. So the employment section, that's where you'll give us, as you said, sort of salary and when you started, when you left, your title there, your roles and responsibilities with that company. The resume is all about your accomplishments. What have you done in those different roles? The more that you can quantify those results, the better. Mm-hmm. I use a resume oftentimes as a really quick overview, a snapshot of where somebody has been, gives me a sense for the companies, the academic background. A lot of times there might be certifications or additional training that they've done, maybe some community involvement as well. So it's sort of nice, neatly packaged there in the resume, and that can be a really helpful tool. I will say that our colleagues, if you are admitted to Darden and choose to matriculate here, your resume with your approval will be shared with our colleagues in our Career Development Center as you might be looking to have a career kickoff meeting with them. Certainly our faculty and our colleagues in Student Affairs, as they are eager to get to know who will be in the class, the resume is something that they will review and get a sense for your background as well. So it's an important part as well as the employment section, as both of them are important and they provide different information.
Mm-hmm. So recommendations, probably one of the number one questions we get from prospective students. And oftentimes it's along the lines of, I'm thinking about asking this person, what do you think? Mm-hmm. Yes, no, would this person be a good? And so general advice, at least how I think about it, is someone who's managed you, right, in a professional setting is typically best. And recency is oftentimes a little bit more helpful than primacy, right? If we go all the way 10 plus years back, well, we're trying to get a sense of who you are right now,
right,
as someone who's potentially going to matriculate in just a few months here at Darden. And the reason why I think we always encourage people to think about supervisors first or managers first is because of the questions that get asked,
right,
on the recommendation form. How do you know this applicant? How do they compare to their peers, mm-hmm, a piece of advice or feedback? And typically managers, supervisors have the best perspective. What's your advice to people on how to think about who to ask for a recommendation?
Certainly. Well, I think for our executive format students, where the expectation is that you are continuing to work while you are pursuing the Darden MBA, I think that supervisor is going to be very important for many reasons. Yes, in the letters of recommendation, that is going to be a very valuable perspective to have. But also, given, your desire to keep working while you're pursuing this degree, you want that champion. You want that person who is going to support you during this time, who's going to have a sense for the demands of the program, who's also going to have an appreciation for what you're going to bring back to the organization, the things that you are learning and discussing at Darden. And so that supervisor, hopefully, that's somebody who's going to be a real advocate for you, advocating, through the admissions process, but certainly as you are a student and supporting you through this. So I think spending time with your recommendation writers is great and always advised. Remind them, let them know why you are applying, why you want your MBA, what you're looking to get from it, why you're excited in particular about Darden. And then certainly, sort of the components, the structure of the program, the timing and things like that. That's probably multiple conversations. Maybe don't spring that all on them at once. But I do think your direct supervisor is that person who knows you best and can, all those accomplishments you tell us on your resume, they're going to corroborate those and share more. And they're going to give us some really rich examples of your past experience working together. So we do ask for two letters. So hopefully it is that current supervisor. And then maybe it's a previous supervisor, or it's somebody else that you've worked with closely on a project. You know, we do see a lot of entrepreneurs mm-hmm. in our executive formats. Mm-hmm. And so if you are your own boss and don't have a supervisor, maybe it's asking a client, maybe it's asking your accountant or your attorney or somebody who really can speak to your work. I think that you know, we see that all the time. Again, at the end of the day, mm-hmm. we just want to hear from people who know you well, mm-hmm. And hopefully will be a champion for you through this admissions process and then as you become a student.
Yeah, the recommendations are always really helpful because, you know, you provide your application information and we're going to interview you.
Right.
Right. And typically, if we're considering you for an offer of admission, we'll interview you and we'll spend some time with you. But the recommendations are a third party
right.
view on who you are and who you are in a professional setting and how you relate to others and all these kinds of things that we're really interested in. I should note, always good to ask your supervisor about this, but there are times when people are new, have a new supervisor,
or,
you know, they may just start work together. If you choose not to ask your current supervisor
right.
To write a recommendation for you, particularly in the executive formats, we want to know why,
yeah.
right? And it could be we're both new, he
right.
or she is new, I just transitioned over to this team, whatever it is. But
right.
if you don't ask your supervisor and there's no explanation, that's
right.
something that we would certainly have some questions about. So use the additional comments section to address that.
Yeah.
We do, as part of a pre-matriculation requirement, require a company support letter.
Right.
So a little bit different than a recommendation letter.
Mm-hmm.
That's a letter that's from your supervisor, typically on company letterhead, acknowledging the requirements of the program, and you know, authorizing you to take the time necessary to participate in the program. I bring it up here because there is a little bit of an information lag. We have shifted to this being a pre-matriculation requirement. It was previously an admissions requirement, and just want to make sure that everybody knows that you may submit it with your application materials, but you can also wait to see
yeah.
see if you're admitted. So shifting quickly to the interview process.
Yes, my favorite part.
Yeah, we have, and I think all of our favorite part, I mean, to sit down with somebody for 35, 40 minutes, hear their story. What are some interview tips that you have for our students?
Sure. Well, certainly come into the interview prepared. We are going to just continue to want to get to know you and to hear your story. So the more comfortable you are telling your story, sharing examples of teamwork, leadership, you know, helping us get a sense even more, bringing that story to life. We are going to ask you why you're interested in the MBA and why you're excited about Darden. So, you know, we certainly are going to be eager to hear, you know, directly from you. We also use the interview as a time for you to continue to get to know us. So be thinking about questions that you have, things, information that you would like to gather from one of us on the admissions committee. It is really your chance. Yes, it is an interview for business school, and you know, we are looking to learn more about you, but we really hope you take the opportunity to learn about us and maximize that experience. So, you know, familiarize yourself, be comfortable with your story. And it is a conversation. It's our favorite part because, like you said, you know, we get to have, what a luxury to sit down and chat with people and hear about their backgrounds. And our students do some pretty incredible things.
Yeah.
And we learn so much. As I like to say, I learn enough to be dangerous.
Yes. Great at cocktail conversations.
Exactly, yeah. Exactly. So it is fun, and it is just a great way for both of us to further get to know each other.
Yeah, so if you're curious about how all this fits together, so we have an application deadline. Let's use our September round as an example. So September 10 will be our application deadline. Always worth noting that we have a little bit of flexibility if you're scrambling and trying to get your application together. Typically, the recommendations are the slowest
yes.
part to come together. Stay on your recommenders. Make sure they know what the deadline is. Stay in touch with them. Check back in, all these kinds of things. And make sure that they got the recommendation materials,
yes.
right? Because those go out electronically, right, via email, and occasionally the email will get caught in a spam filter.
Right.
So stay in touch with your recommenders, but we can be a little flexible around the deadline. But there's an initial review to determine who's invited for an interview.
Mm-hmm.
And then we have a target interview date, a series of target interview dates for the September round. It's September 12th through the 19th. Mm-hmm. We won't interview on every one of those days, but but on the weekdays we will. And we offer in-person interviews, typically both in Charlottesville and in Roslyn, as well as Skype interviews. It's worth noting that we do not consider Skype or in-person as superior or one's better than the other. Choose the option that makes most sense. We offer both options for executive format students because we know you're busy and not everybody can come for an in-person interview. And so it's part of that interview. Your interviewer will then write up the conversation, answering some questions, and that will become part of your application and be part of what the committee reviews when making a decision regarding your candidacy. And we release decisions. If you spend some time on our deadlines page, there's always a dedicated decision release date where we really aim to release decisions on that date or maybe a little bit earlier than that date. If there's a variance later, we'll let you know. But it's intended to keep us on track and on schedule. And then if you're admitted, you typically have about 3 weeks to consider any offer of admission, which is a quick turnaround. So we encourage people to do their research up front and let us know what information you may need because you won't have a whole lot of time to consider the offer. So mentioning the decision release date brings us to our scholarship process. Sure. So we typically release scholarship decisions when we're releasing the admissions decisions. All admitted students are automatically considered for a scholarship award.
Right.
I do remind folks that in the executive format, since we're talking about people who are working while in school in a smaller program than our full-time MBA program, our scholarship budget is smaller by comparison. But we have more scholarship money than we ever have in the executive formats. And so talk a little bit more about how that process works. You know, how do we think about the scholarship process with executive format students?
Sure. As you said, it's merit-based, so we are going to be looking at the full application, certainly at your academic record, the standardized test information. Your professional background as well is so very valuable. So kind of getting back to the case method and the way that we learn and having a very diverse class is so important, is so critical to this overall learning experience. And so it is important to us as we're thinking through, what are those experiences? What are going to be those perspectives that our students are going to bring? And all of that's taken into consideration in that scholarship review process. So, and as you said, those decisions are generally released at that time of decision, admissions decision release.
Yeah. So Whitney's teasing me here a little bit because we're normally within within 1 or 2 days.
We're pretty good.
We do our best. But the scholarship awards, and I think it's worth doing some level setting here. As I mentioned, we have a smaller scholarship budget to work with, and our orientation as a committee is to try to spread the money out to as many students as possible. We could certainly award just a handful of full tuition scholarships, but that is not how we've chosen to use the money available. Our awards typically range from, say, $10,000 total to $30,000 or $35,000. This year, we will be making sort of one award. It will be the same whether you choose EMBA or GEMBA. Worth noting that. The average award typically works out to be about $15,000 total for the program. So helpful, but likely not going to be a huge tuition offset. And the thing worth noting is that most of the awards that we have available are, at least as an initial threshold consideration, rooted in academic merit, indices of academic merit. So we will be looking in particular, as Whitney noted, on undergraduate GPA, graduate GPA, professional certification, standardized test score, as sort of a, okay, do you check one or more of these boxes? And if so, then we'll broaden out from that. But the initial screen is largely based off of some of these harder, more quantitative aspects of your application. So, if you have questions about scholarship and you have questions about anything, and this is a quick plug for us, we are always here to help. As Whitney noted, we view ourselves as partners as you are learning about Darden and applying to Darden. Great thing about the executive formats is the scale of the applicant pools. You really have a chance to work with people individually. So if you reach by email, general inbox is exec, that's execmba@darden.virginia.edu. But we would not be admissions folks if we did not leave you with a piece of advice before we signed off here. So Whitney, what's your advice for our students considering Darden?
Oh, man.
Or Darden's executive format specifically.
Sure. I mean, it's just you're embarking on an incredible opportunity. This chance to, you know, join a cohort of students that have this very rich and vibrant background to learn together over the course of, you know, just shy of 2 years, to have the opportunity in the classroom, you know, to really stretch and grow and to, you know, continually to develop professionally, but also an opportunity to meet some incredible people who will become great friends and will be your network for life. So I mention all of that because the application process is your introduction to this experience. So I know that it can feel daunting at times, or maybe some hoops that you feel you need to go through, but it's all important and sort of that process that you will go through to demonstrate that you are ready and eager for this experience. And I think that will help you as you are formulating in your mind why you want this, what you want to get out of it, so that you can really maximize that experience. So, you know, the application is sort of that vehicle to sort of help you through this process. So spend time on it. Certainly, you know, be thoughtful and be authentic to who you are. Spell check, that good stuff. Sure. But it really is an introduction. You know, no question in there is meant to trip you up or to, you know, there's nothing that we're looking for specifically. It's more, you know, mm-hmm. tell us who you are.
Yeah. I always stress the big questions are, you know, and throughout this process, why MBA? You know,
right.
Why do you want to do this? Why do you want to be here?
Right.
Why Darden? And then short term, long term, where do you see yourself going? And I've had some interesting conversations with career colleagues on the podcast about the importance of being focused, but not hyper specific.
Right.
And open, but not to the point of
too broad.
Right. And so short term, long term, if you haven't begun to engage in sort of these career questions, that would be a valuable exercise for you. Easy way to do that is to start coming to some Darden events,
mm-hmm.
Networking with Darden alumni, meeting some of our current students, sitting in on a class, just beginning the process of investigating what we offer. It gives us a great chance to get to know you, which is a big part of why we do all these events, right? Because we really want to get to know applicants. Because Darden is a school with a strong culture. It's very much a family feel, and
mm-hmm.
and we want people to have, you know, to have a chance to get to experience that. Every school has its own personality, and Darden's no exception to that. But it also helps you refine the reasons why,
right.
and sort of litmus test the idea of getting an MBA.
Mm-hmm.
And really ask yourself along the research process, do I want to do this? Is this the right fit for me? So that by the time you're applying, you do feel confident in your why MBA answer, why Darden, and you have a compelling case around your career goals. So, well, Whitney, it's been a pleasure having you here on the podcast. For those of you who are listeners, Whitney and I have many of these conversations. It's nice to have her join us here. Absolutely. So,
no, Brett, this has been such a pleasure. So I've loved what you've done with the blog, the many different perspectives that you've gathered, you know, through our colleagues and our students and our alumni, through this podcast is super fun, a great resource. So, glad to be a part of it, and really excited to meet the prospective students who are looking to apply this year. So to be at the beginning of this admission cycle,
right.
And we're definitely eager and excited about meeting you and learning more about you. So thank you.
Absolutely. It's hard to believe this, but just a few days away, our first deadline. So
I know.
It's a lot to look forward to.
Got to get my reading glasses.
Absolutely. Well, thank you, Whitney.
Thank you, Brett.
And that was my conversation with my admissions colleague, Whitney Kessner. So hopefully we've answered all of your executive MBA admissions questions, but my guess is you probably still have another question or two. As I mentioned at the outset of this episode, there's no shortage of ways to learn about Darden, and we really hope you will take us up on one or more of these opportunities. So schedule a phone conversation, meet with us in person, or what we call office hours, come to an event, or come to events, a class visit. We really want to get to know you through the process, and we hope you'll take us up on one or more of these opportunities. Of course, as always, if you have questions, if we can be of assistance in any way, let us know. We can be reached at exec, that's EXEC, MBA, @darden.virginia.edu. And until next time, thanks for listening.